the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News Team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Outline for impeachment.
The president betrayed his oath of office and the American people.
That is our top story at noon. House Democrats releasing the text of their plan to launch a formal impeachment process against President Trump. The resolution sets the wheels in motion for an official vote that'll happen tomorrow. California Republican Kevin McCarthy.
Adam Schiff, now the prosecutor, the judge, and the jury.
Schiff and the Intelligence Committee Democrats, they've completely obliterated the Intelligence Committee. It's now known as the Impeachment Committee.
California Congressman Devin Nunes says House Democrats have silenced Republicans in their impeachment probe. He calls the inquiry a dog and pony show.
We've been bad at most of these depositions, but to interrupt us continually, to coach the witness, to decide whether or not what we're going to be able to ask the witness. I mean, we don't even get any witnesses at this point, and it doesn't look like we're going to get any ever.
The House Rules Committee will meet this afternoon to determine the scope of the current impeachment inquiry. Again, the full House expected to vote tomorrow. High-powered winds in wildfire country. That is the other big story at noon, the high winds posing a problem again today in California as wildfires continue to burn up and down the Golden State.
There has been this really incredible, powerful windstorm, strong gusts that are hitting all over. And here comes another water-dropping chopper. It almost looks like the wind's kind of pushing it around a little bit as well.
Extreme red flag warnings up in L.A. today with high winds fanning the flames. Correspondent Steve Futterman is there.
It could be a very difficult day for fire crews here. Right now, people are on edge. The Santa Ana winds are supposed to get stronger throughout the day. These could be the strongest Santa Ana winds we have seen this year.
Steve Futterman reporting. Officials say the Getty Fire in Southern California started by a tree branch falling onto a power line.
It only takes one ember to blow down wind to start another fire.
The Getty Fire near L.A. and the Kincade Fire in Northern California prompting evacuations today. Right now, firefighters working to protect the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley after a brush fire started burning out of control there. A forensic pathologist says the injuries that killed Jeffrey Epstein more consistent with strangulation than with suicide. Dr. Michael Bodden says police need to dig deeper into the death of the multimillionaire.
There were findings that were unusual for suicidal hanging and more consistent with ligature, homicidal, and strangulation.
Dr. Bodden says the circumstances surrounding Epstein's death just don't add up.
Two guards asleep. In 50 years of looking at deaths in New York State, and occasionally a guard falls asleep. Never are two guards at the same time. The cell, the camera in the cell watching didn't work. The camera in the hallway to see if anybody came in and out of his cell didn't work. This is bizarre.
Jeffrey Epstein died August 10th after prison guards found him hanging in his Manhattan jail cell as he was awaiting trial for sex trafficking. Despite all of the attention on Common Core and more testing in schools today, reading and math scores across the country are not budging. In fact, some have even dropped. The latest look at the nation's report card shows elementary and middle school reading scores haven't changed in over a decade. Math scores have also flatlined. It's a snow day in Denver.
Appreciative that the schools are closing when it's not the best weather to be on the roads.
I get to spend more time with my family.
Back-to-back snowstorms and temps below zero forcing schools to shut down today in the Mile High City. The World Series going to a Game 7.
It's the catch! And a World Series Game 6 winning Curly W is in the books.
The Nationals beat the Astros last night in Houston. It marks the first time ever in the Fall Classic that the road team has won every game through the first six. Nats slugger Anthony Rendon.
Try to ride this wave as long as possible. Maybe they enjoy our park, and maybe we enjoy their park. So we're not going to ask questions. We're just going to try to go out there and just have some fun.
The World Series winner will be decided tonight. It's Game 7 from Minute Maid Park in Houston. Still to come this Wednesday, splitting New York in three. Election overhaul in Pennsylvania and cheap entertainment in Buffalo.
Good afternoon. We're tracking a storm system from the central states that promises to deliver rain and wind here in the coming days. I'll be back with forecast details. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Wednesday, October 30th. A young child from western New York has died from the flu. It's not known if the child was vaccinated or not. Doctors say the flu is hitting early this year, and they're urging folks to get vaccinated before Halloween.
We've already seen the flu coming into western New York, so this year is hitting our area a little bit early, and we really want to make sure that vaccine that's going to protect you gets in before Halloween if we can.
Dr. Neil Herendeen at Golisano Children's Hospital in Rochester. The Monroe County Department of Health says there have been 14 confirmed cases of the flu in the greater Rochester area. Six of those cases have required hospitalization. Firefighters in Butler, Pennsylvania, rescuing a teenager who got stuck between two buildings. She's in the hospital today after falling from a rooftop that wedged her between the buildings. The space she was stuck in, less than 2 feet wide. Firefighters able to reach the teenager through a window. Two local state lawmakers pushing to split New York into three autonomous regions. State Senator Rob Ort and State Assemblyman David DiPietro say their measure is long overdue.
Let's just look at the last 6 months. I would be hard-pressed to identify a lot of legislation that came out that was beneficial for western New York, for upstate New York.
Rob Ort says the bill would split the state into the New York region, the Montauk region, and the New Amsterdam region. David DiPietro says if it passes, the state assembly and the state senate would stay the same.
Each region would have its own governor, and those senators and assembly people in that region would be the representation that we have now statewide, would be region-wide.
And DiPietro says the measure is gaining momentum and other states are taking notice.
When I wrote it and presented it, I was called from Illinois. Illinois is using this bill now to take Chicago and divide Chicago right down the center of the state. You saw California a couple years ago try to do separate states, and the federal government has no inclination to put a 51st star on the flag and change everything they do. But now California is looking to go up to six autonomous regions.
The proponents say the move to split New York into three regions would mean more jobs and lower taxes. Critics say it doesn't stand a chance of passing. The chairman of the New York State Democratic Party pushing a proposal that would essentially get rid of third parties in the Empire State. Here's Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Yeah, the proposal from Chairman Jay Jacobs would raise the number of votes that a political party needs to guarantee on a spot on the ballot in the next election from 50,000 to 250,000. Nearly every minor party has fallen short of collecting 250,000 votes, including the Working Families Party, a progressive group that shares many Democratic Party ideals, but has pushed Governor Cuomo further to the left. The only third party to surpass 250,000 is the Conservative Party. If just that party survived, a candidate could then run on both the Conservative and Republican Party lines, while a Liberal candidate would have to win a primary to be the sole candidate on the Democratic Party line. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. The biggest change to election law in decades could soon be on the way in PA. The legislation would approve the money needed to buy new voting machines ahead of next year's presidential election. The Republican-controlled House in Harrisburg passed it yesterday, now heads to the state Senate. Governor Tom Wolf says he'll sign it into law. The city of Pittsburgh plans to appeal a judge's decision to strike down a strict gun control law there. The law was implemented following the Tree of Life shooting last year. Reaction to the ruling split.
I think it's sad when we use an event that's as terrible as this as an example to like change what is constitutionally best for our country.
You need to look at where we're at today in society and understand that certain guns, we need to think about some kind of restriction or a ban.
The legislation would have restricted military-style assault weapons like the one used in the synagogue shooting. Starting Friday, New York State will require all children under the age of 2 to remain in a rear-facing car seat. Family Life's Paul Price.
Yeah, the law previously only required the seats remain rear-facing until the child's first birthday. But New York State is bolstering its restraint mandates as motor vehicle crashes are the leading cause of death for children ages 1 through 13. Officials say that children should be kept in the rear-facing position until they reach the manufacturer's maximum height or weight, because a rear-facing car seat can help protect a child's neck and spine in the event of a crash. This law also requires that children be in a forward-facing harness until at least age 4 and a booster seat until at least age 8. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bobby. LaSalle Park in Buffalo will now be known as the Ralph C. Wilson Jr. Centennial Park. That park renamed in honor of the late owner of the Buffalo Bills ahead of its major renovation project next year. Widow Mary Wilson.
Ralph loved this city. He loved these people. He loved his fans. And what so appropriate that he is touching more than Buffalo Bills fans.
The Wilson Foundation has joined state and local officials to commit a total of $68 million to renovate that park on Buffalo's waterfront. The Queen City, the third cheapest city in all of America for families to attend an NFL game. Rent.com says the average ticket price for a family of four to watch a football game in Buffalo, just over $284. Cleveland, the cheapest city in America, according to the study. Los Angeles, the most expensive. Pennsylvania fishermen will have a better chance to catch a monster trout next year. Family Life's Terry Diener.
The number of trophy trout, each 14 to 20 inches or longer, will be doubled next year, jumping from about 27,000 to 60,000. Trophy golden rainbow trout will increase from 9,500 this year to 13,000 next. The commission annually stocks about 3.2 million adult trout in 707 streams and 127 lakes across Pennsylvania. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Doesn't get any better than this, folks. Game 7 tonight. Night. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Yeah, there will be a game 7. Nationals crushed the Astros 7-2 game 6 in Houston, evening that best of 7 matchup at 3. Nationals manager Dave Martinez said team effort.
Rendon stepped up big. Adam Eaton, all of them. I mean, the defense, the hustling, the Strasburg, new coming in, getting a couple big outs for us. I mean, going to game 7. I mean, it's a lot of fun.
By the way, the road team has won all 6 games. It's the first time in 1,420 best of 7 postseason series across Major League Baseball, NBA, and NHL, in which the road team has won each of the first 6 contests. Hopefully not tonight, says AJ Hinch.
If I'd have told you the series was going to be 3-3, going to a game 7, I don't think there's a person in the building that would have assumed that all road games or road teams were going to win. We just got to make sure that last one's not the same.
Game time at 8 o'clock. To the ice, the Battle of Pennsylvania. Not much of a battle at all.
Look at this. Unity! Dominic Cahoon does get that 7th goal for the Pens.
Penguins scoring 4 in the first on their way to a 7-1 win against the Flyers in Pittsburgh. At Madison Square Garden, the Rangers scored 3 times in the third to beat the Lightning 4-1. Adam Fox scoring his first career goal.
Yeah, it was awesome. Definitely a lot of emotions. Kind of was able to, put a little cushion on the game too, which was nice. And I was definitely excited to get the first one.
In Toronto, overtime win for Ovechkin and the Capitals.
Ovechkin fires! He scores! A spectacular road trip.
And if you're on social media, good chance you've seen NBA star LeBron James in his Taco Tuesday. Well, James sent taco trucks yesterday to feed first responders in the L.A. fire.
It definitely takes a lot of bravery, a lot of commitment, a lot of sacrifice. When you're at a risk of your life, anytime you're called upon, it's a different type of mind state.
The fires forced many to evacuate, including James and his family. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolfiette.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come this Wednesday, cops and suicide. We'll take a closer look. Wildfires in California, the very latest, and truffles, the cat.
The best story ever written doesn't start with once upon a time in a land far, far away. And the best part is, it's true. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. In his album Resurrection Letters, Andrew Peterson describes, in a song called Maybe Next Year, how a visit to Jerusalem made his faith real like never before. Quote, this is the place where Abraham cut loose the boy, and he killed the ram instead. And this is the place where Jesus said, you could tear down the temple and he'd raise it from the dead. The song's in my mind because I'm currently, with my wife and ministry colleagues, on a tour of Israel. Actually, tour's probably too weak of a word. Any Christian who's been to the Holy Land will attest that coming here is more like a pilgrimage. We're hitting all the major sites, Caesarea, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Gethsemane, Jerusalem, and of course the traditional locations of Jesus' crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. Seeing these places, where the events of the Bible actually took place, not in some dream time or fictional world, but right here on this very soil, it's incredible. There's actually a place where Jericho once stood. The bluff where King David built his palace is a real bluff. The mountain where Elijah called down fire from heaven, it exists. And, as we continue to talk about time after time on Breakpoint, archaeology continues to validate these biblical accounts. These discoveries not only verify the truthfulness of the Bible, they remind us how thoroughly grounded the Christian faith is in actual history. And just the last year, the existence of the biblical Philistines and Edomites have been confirmed by new discoveries, as has the Babylonian conquest of Jerusalem, and even an obscure official in the court of King Josiah. One member of our editorial team tells of how, during his own visit to Israel years ago, he went to the synagogue at Capernaum, which almost certainly stands on the site where Jesus preached and cast out a demon, as is recorded in Mark 1 and Luke 4. Because of the synagogue's layout and size, archaeologists can say to within a few feet, Jesus stood here. Now think about that for a second. The God of the universe in human form, the Word who became flesh, stood here. What a mind-boggling concept. What a reminder that Christianity isn't some subjective religious experience or some mere expression of personal piety, as we too often seem to imply. Many believers, when asked why they accept the gospel, will talk about their experience and their personal testimony, the I know that Jesus lives because he lives within my heart sort of thing, as the song goes. Now, don't misunderstand me. I hope God has captured your heart in such a way that you overflow with personal testimonies and experiences with God. But pointing to these as the main reasons to believe in Christianity misses a crucial point. Our faith is true in an objective, historical, and universal sense. When Christians say the Bible is true, that our faith is true, we don't mean it's true for us. We mean it's true. We simply mean it's true. It's true whether you choose to accept it or reject it. It's true because 2,000 years ago, the Lord of life really did walk the soil of this land called Israel, rewriting history and eternity on behalf of his people everywhere. Knowing our God really did come to dwell among us should light a fire under our faith. Unfortunately, that cosmos-shaking detail loses its revolutionary essence far too often. Sometimes it takes pointing to where he stood on a map or standing where he did in a synagogue in order for that fire to light us up like it should. I'll share some more reflections on Breakpoint this week about my time in Israel and the uniqueness of the Christian worldview as history this weekend. Be sure to tune in by coming to our website, catching us on radio, or subscribing to the Breakpoint podcast. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
We are coming up on 20 minutes past the hour Wednesday afternoon. Let's check that forecast. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the midday weather map, we're looking at a potent area of low pressure and a front in the Midwest, bringing snow to Chicago today. It's going to bring our area soaking rain, especially tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night, and some high winds in its wake later tomorrow night into Friday. In forecast form for this afternoon, cloudy, but just a stray shower, a little drizzle and fog here, and there high temperatures in the mid-50s to the middle-60s. Cloudy tonight with showers and fog low in the 50s. Cloudy tomorrow, showers evolve into a soaking rain. Look for it to pour in many areas tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night. There could be thunder. High temps into the 60s. Strong winds for many tomorrow night into Friday morning. Showers and clearing. Temperatures Friday in the 40s and lower 50s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. If you're just joining us today, here are some of the stories we're following for you. Wednesday, October 30th. The forecast is frightening in California as strong winds intensifying stubborn and destructive wildfires. In Los Angeles, the big concern is the Getty Fire and those Santa Ana winds. Mayor Eric Garcetti.
We have the most significant wind event in Los Angeles of the year.
In fact, the National Weather Service is calling it an extreme red flag warning. That does not happen very often. The L.A. Fire Chief says there's reason to be concerned.
Wind gusts could be up to 50 to 70 miles per hour. It only takes one ember to blow down wind to start another fire.
And a new fire burning in Southern California right now, raging near the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley. It's charred over 15 acres. President Trump taking to Twitter today to defend his phone call to the president of Ukraine back in July. Mr. Trump says Republicans are energized and unified in the impeachment fight. The Democratic-controlled House will vote tomorrow to launch a formal inquiry into President Trump. A divisive debate involving a Democratic White House hopeful. Here's Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
It happened after Joe Biden was denied communion by a priest in South Carolina. The former VP was on a weekend campaign swing through the Palmetto State when the lifelong Catholic stopped at a parish in Florence but was not served communion because of his support of abortion. Liberal radio host Ethan Behrman tells Fox News.
The Reverend doesn't know what's in Vice President Biden's heart. How dare he, as a mortal man, judge what is in his heart and his relationship with God?
But Father Jonathan Morris disagrees.
It's not about judging Joe Biden's heart. Joe Biden has revealed his heart. He has said publicly, I am a proponent of legislation that promotes abortion.
Biden's campaign has declined to comment on the situation. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Police chiefs from all across the country meeting in Chicago this week. Suicide, one of the big issues being discussed. Illinois Detective Matt Thornton says the job of being a cop is tough, and he's had suicidal thoughts himself.
Let's just all admit we're broken and join arms, and let's talk about this stuff. Because we're not meant to do this by ourselves. We're not meant to suppress all this.
188 officers have taken their own lives this year in the U.S. That's twice the number who've died in the line of duty. A forensic pathologist says the injuries that killed accused pedophile and human trafficker Jeffrey Epstein are more consistent with homicide than suicide.
Dr. Michael Bodden was on Fox and Friends Wednesday morning when he talked about Epstein's neck fractures, saying, quote, I've not seen in 50 years where that occurred in a suicidal hanging case. Bodden, who was hired by Epstein's team to oversee the autopsy, said that the three fractures in Epstein's neck are unusual and more commonly seen in homicidal strangulation. Jeffrey Epstein, financier and alleged sex trafficker, was found unresponsive in his New York City jail cell in August.
That's Elisa Z reporting. The Trump administration launching a new website today. It's aimed at helping folks deal with substance abuse issues. You can check it out at findtreatment.gov. New numbers emerging today from the nation's classroom.
The latest grades on the nation's report card for elementary and middle school students are bleak and alarming. Overall, reading and math scores continue to flatline, not budging in a decade, and educators have yet to come up with a way to improve the numbers. Also, the latest ACT scores indicate high school students continue to struggle in math, English, reading, and science, subject areas deemed essential for later success, amplifying concerns about college readiness.
That's Gary Nunn reporting. The NCAA has voted to allow student-athletes to profit from their names and their images. It's a sharp turnaround following pressure from several states.
When California basically said, we will agree to at least let them profit off of their names and likenesses, the NCAA was really pushed into an ever-receding corner.
That's AP Sports writer Jim Litke. The NCAA says the new rules will be in place late next year. Well, the two best words in all of sport, Game 7, it's a winner-take-all as the Nationals and the Astros duke it out one more time from Houston tonight.
Winner-take-all, one game. That's why we play the game.
We're going to continue to try to ride this wave as long as possible.
Game 7 here at Minute Maid Park in front of our home fans is going to be a blast.
We're just going to try to go out there and just have some fun.
We'll leave it all on the field, as they say. The World Series finale this year, one for the record books, too. Never before in the history of professional sport. Any sport has a home team not won a single game through six games. Astros manager A.J. Hinch hopes to change all that tonight.
We're waiting to the last game to have it on our side. We worked really hard to get home field, and we're happy to play at home. We have no problem playing at home. This place will be rocking. We've won a ton of games in this ballpark. This series has been very weird.
The Astros send Zach Greinke to the hill to face the Nats. Max Scherzer, Game 7 tonight in Houston. If you're a fan of Game of Thrones, you're going to like this.
HBO has ordered up a 10-episode prequel series. House of the Dragon is set 300 years before the original.
That's Steve Kaffin reporting. Coming up on 25 minutes past the hour, Wednesday afternoon. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome back to another edition of Real Answers with Chris Anderson. Wednesdays during the Noon Report, we tackle the tough topics facing today's families with licensed mental health counselor Chris Anderson. It was interesting, you and I had talked a little bit off air about this new report that showed a staggering amount of Christians involved in some new age practices and kind of how that relates to our faith, and I guess it piqued both of our interests.
It did. Obviously, it's something that's not actually new, but I think, as you pointed out, it's the increase that has us asking the question, particularly why.
With the counseling background, have you seen this reflected in your work?
I have at various times, and I've seen recently a couple of cases where folks have wanted to consult, I don't even know if the correct term is fortune tellers or palm readers, but folks who are looking to other ways of getting answers. So it's there. And I wouldn't say it's, at least in my practice and seeing clients, I haven't personally seen a huge increase in this type of activity. However, I know you and I both looked at a particular Pew Research article that shows that that is happening.
What do you think has really brought about this spike in these new age practices?
I think a part of it definitely is an increasingly diverse population. And of course, that's a good thing in many respects, but this also brings about a corresponding increase in diverse belief system and in ways of dealing with life's toughest questions, such as why do things happen the way they do, and dealing with death and dealing with the uncertainty of the future. But we're also at a point in our society, and I think anybody who watches the news or is otherwise attached to social media can see that our society is living high on emotional stimulation. And social media and also other media outlets, news outlets that are stirring the pot on many issues is really riling up people's passions and riling up people's desires for more answers on a variety of issues. So this causes that desire for answers that may not be readily available. These factors often come together and entice Christians to also dabble in practices that are not necessarily godly practices.
I think a lack of education also lends itself to this, that they don't necessarily understand or maybe aren't aware of ramifications or how they should view this. So what exactly is happening when someone chooses to engage the occult?
People are basically saying that God's ways and the answers that he provides on certain issues in the Bible through his word are not enough, and that more is needed than just God's grace and assurance. And a lot of times that is a reflection of the level of hurt and pain and the level of social discomfort and the level of emotions in our society around certain topics. And again, some of those topics are real hot button issues right now. But also what's happening is it's opening up yourself when you dabble in new age or occult practices to influences that can be very dangerous from a spiritual standpoint. Definitely not godly practices, and obviously practices that are evil and otherwise not bringing glory to God.
What are some of the occult practices that are seen?
A lot of times people are looking for answers when they dabble in the occult. I mean, there are times when people may be doing so with, we'll say, their pure motives, but like you said, a lack of education and understanding of the dangers attached to that type of practice. But anyway, there are folks who consult tarot cards or other types of cards to get some sort of direction from other spirits. There's, again, trying to channel, you know, a lost relative who's passed away. There's crystals and energy that people think that somehow these crystals can channel energy from the creation itself or other realms of spirituality. Those are the types of things that are most commonly seen. Now, there might be others, but definitely anything that is not reflective of God's word and what God wants for us could be considered as a New Age or a cult.
So I guess that lends itself to the next question. That is, if someone is hearing this right now and they've engaged in occult practices, what would you recommend?
Somebody that's hearing this right now and is engaging in any kind of New Age or spiritual occult practices, and they're concerned about that, meaning, well, maybe, you know, I shouldn't be doing this, definitely consult a trusted friend or a pastor or other leader in their healthy Bible-believing church. And depending on how deep somebody is into these types of practices, it may warrant a pastor or other, let's say, leaders in the church maybe praying over them and just possibly even just releasing them from any kind of influences that may be attached to these practices. And really just seeking out a good counselor, too, may be needed to just talk about what's driving the desire to seek out answers, because a lot of times, again, that desire may be attached to fear, or it could be attached to these other touchy areas of life or even personal traumas or experiences that somebody has gone through. So it can be worked through. A lot of times it does require just praying with somebody and just breaking those connections with potentially evil influences.
You've been listening to another edition of Real Answers with Chris Anderson, Wednesdays during the Noon Report. We tackle the tough topics facing today's families with Christian counselor Chris Anderson.
Thank you, guys. Real Answers comes your way Wednesdays during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime, fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the midday weather map, we're looking at a potent area of low pressure and a front in the Midwest, bringing snow to Chicago today. It's going to bring our area soaking rain, especially tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night, and some high winds in its wake later tomorrow night into Friday. In forecast form for this afternoon, cloudy, but just a stray shower, a little drizzle and fog here and there, high temperatures in the mid-50s to the middle-60s. Cloudy tonight with showers and fog low in the 50s. Cloudy tomorrow, showers evolve into a soaking rain. Look for it to pour in many areas tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night. There could be thunder. High temps into the 60s. Strong winds for many tomorrow night into Friday morning. Showers and clearing. Temperatures Friday in the 40s and lower 50s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Finally at noon, a cat from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, helping kids feel comfortable in their glasses.
Truffles, come here.
Danielle Kroll rescued that cat 2 years ago, and now Truffles works with her at a child's eyes in Mechanicsburg.
As I was training Truffles, I wondered if she'd put glasses on for me, which she did. And then I just realized that that was like a great way to show kids.
Kroll says Truffles not only tries on glasses for the kids, she also wears patches.
3-4% of kids have amblyopia, which would require them to wear an eye patch. She will actually wear a pair of glasses with an eye patch on it just to show kids that it's okay to have an eye patch on.
And if you can't see Truffles in person, Kroll says she also posts videos of the cat sporting her eyewear on Facebook. If a cat can wear glasses, so can you. That is the world we live in this Wednesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.